Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is May the 22nd, 2022, Sunday. And I have the honor to have whistleblower Professor James Fetzer, as well as whistleblower Professor Joe, should we say. The knowledge this man has amazes you. Anyway, with that said, Jim, what's your report for the week?
Well, we got about 4 to 6 major stories. Hillary did it. Her 2016 campaign manager, Bobby Book, admitted that Hillary approved the plan of false Russia claim implicating Trump with a reporter. This is a major development. This is coming from the Wall Street Journal, no less, but we know it's happening in court as a consequence of Durham's trial of Michael Sussman. This is absolutely fascinating. In September of 2016, Sussman took claims of a secret Trump connection to Russia's Alpha Bank to the FBI and claimed he was not acting on behalf of any client, but in fact he was doing that at the instruction of Hillary Clinton. Prosecutors asked him about his role in funneling the Alpha Bank claims to the press, and he admitted the campaign lacked expertise to vet the data, but the decision was made by him. Policy advisor Jake Sullivan, now Biden's national security advisor, communication director Jennifer Palamary, and campaign chairman John Podesta, to give the Alpha Bank claims to a reporter. Mrs. Clinton was asked about the plan and approved it. It, of course, went wild. It became fantastic and created an incredible feeding frenzy. Most of the press is going to ignore the fact that this revelation has been forthcoming. But the Russia-Trump narrative that Hillary sanctioned did enormous harm to the country, disgraced the FBI, humiliated the press, sent the country on a three-year investigation to nowhere. Vladimir Putin has never come close to doing as much disinformation damage. It's confirming what I had already published in my book, Exposing the Russia Hoax, quite a few years ago. Joel.
What I'm waiting to see is are they really going to become aggressive with Hillary? Are they going to obfuscate this in some way? That's my big concerning all of this. Go ahead.
I might add to this because I'm aware of it, but Jeb Bush was the one that initially had it when he was running against Trump for the Republican Party. And he created the fake dossier, and he turned it over to John McCain. And John McCain then turned it over to the Justice Department, the FBI, saying he got his hands on it and all this stuff. But then they passed it to Hillary, and Hillary blew it out of proportion with him, and that's what happened. But Jeb Bush was the original one that brought up that dossier, the fake dossier on Trump.
That's consistent with my research, too, but I welcome your adding your take on what happened here.
Well, that was something that Super Spook had given to me, and he was pretty much on target when it was that stuff. But there was something done on McCain, and it's on my side. It punched John McCain. There was something that related to the story of the dossier where John McCain.
This is such classic Hillary. I don't imagine Bush would be going after Trump at that early stage. I don't buy it, Stu, but I grant you. I have great respect for you. I just think in this case, what you're reporting is wrong.
Well, I'll try to find it, post it up with the show. I'll call you later.
And we have huge stockpiles of baby formula found at the border, proving the shortage was engineered by the White House to punish and starve American babies, part and parcel of the depopulation plan. As millions of Americans struggle to feed their families, the Biden regime is using their tax dollars to feed illegal aliens. The government spending who knows how much money, Biden transforming formula down south while grocery stores across the country run dry. This is so grotesque. We have a researcher, Representative Kat McCormick of Florida, reporting several large warehouses at the southern border are filled not just with baby formula, but other supplies we hand out to migrants. She's been repeatedly accused of lying about the formula crisis and it's gone, but she has approved what she was saying, what she was reporting was accurate. I'm all on her side. So far, Biden admin has done nothing to try to help Americans survive the crisis, which in many ways this is out to illegals, including Maine, before you lost. Americans descend into oblivion has really picked up its pace with the engineered baby formula shortage is a type of icing on the cake. Americans who care basically mean know to sit time, wait to the election, they'll solve everything when they have a plan to disrupt the election. I doubt very much we're even going to have an election in 2020. They're going to roll out a new variant, lock down the country, and claim that, in fact, there's nothing they can do about. We have to vote by mail, which the Democrats have long since mastered as a way of stealing elections. Joke.
Yes, I am in agreement with what you're saying. And I honestly believe that there's a good chance that there may not be a election where you show up, but you're done, but you do it by mail. And of course, this goes back to the INSLAW program of where Robert Maxwell eventually handed all of this over to the Mossad. And I saw the demonstration myself of an Israeli computer person demonstrating how there is on the CPU of the Intel CPU, a smaller CPU called the ARC. And this was, when I saw this video, this was like about 3 or 4 years ago. And so that allows them who have the access to the ARC CPU to go into any computer around the world. And so essentially what my take on it is that Israel controls the computers around cyberspace, around the world. And so consequently, we are going to see this mass starvation up here. That's going to force even more migrants to come up to the first world nations. And that will inundate all of the infrastructure. They just, the border cities right now, reporting from Ben Bergwam and Oscar L. Blue and Anthony, the border cities are just being inundated. They don't have any place to put them. They're renting every motel along the border is full.
Now, Joe,
they don't know where to put them.
You called the first shot, was right. The supposedly pandemic, this COVID. Now it's monkeypox. Tell them real quick about monkeypox.
Okay, I saw a picture of monkeypox, and it's about the size of a dime, a lesion, and it eats down into the tissue and it bleeds. So, in other words, it's a smallpox. There will be a smallpox variation, but what they're really again after is to get those people to take the so-called, quote, anti-monkeypox shot. But it will be a further inundation of your immune system. And there's going to be even more and more and more death that is going to occur as time goes by.
And this changes your DNA, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it does. The RNA that they put into you changes your DNA around, and it actually is havoc for your immune system. And your immune system begins to have to overproduce spike proteins. These spike proteins go after all different parts of your body. You get bleed out, internal bleed outs. So consequently, you die.
Yeah,
and that's what's waiting for all of us. And they are going to really, right now, they are meeting in Davos, and they are setting up the protocols, and they're going to put it into a form of a treaty. And about a year from now, they'll be very silent about it. They'll have the Senate vote on it, and it'll be approved. And then goodbye for any of us that are left. Because if you don't take the monkeypox antivirus vaccine, no passport, and a social report will also be following you around. So that's it.
What's that liver disease? What's the name of it, Jim or Joe? It's an outbreak right now around the United States. It's among kids.
And I don't know.
They've been pushing it on the news quite a bit, but.
I do know the thing that to keep in mind here is that the biological shot, what it really does is to wreck your immune system. And tuberculosis is back. A liver cancer is back among kids.
That's it.
AIDS is back. And that is because these people have no immune system. None. That's what the vaccine does. It wrecks your immune system.
Jim, you want to add to this?
Oh, I think that Joel is spot on, and if we even have a release of the timeline here of how they're going to implement all this, it's completely outrageous. It may be the monkeypox they're going to use to cancel the November midterm elections, but they're desperate to do it, and yet they don't seem concerned that the Democrats are surprisingly nonchalant about the fact that their prospects are terrible. We've already had a release of the scenario, the design that the attack, the monkeypox, May 15, 2022. Then we're going to have in January, we're going to have, by January 10th of 2023, we're going to have a whole lot of nations that are involved. And by May 10th, there's a whole timeline on this. It's already been published out on Twitter. That lays out the whole agenda. I mean, all of these are scripted. So Joel's, right on top of this, right on top of this.
Now, I want to add to that, that the supply chain begins in your third world, where you have certain kinds of minerals, certain kinds of vegetables, certain kinds. Those people were told to lock down, and that is how the breakdown of the supply chain began. So you're going to see this mass, not hunger, you're going to see mass starvation. And those people are going to come this way because that's where the food is.
Now, Jim, what else you got to report on?
Well, we got a judge blocking the Biden administration effort to lift Title 42, which would have flooded even more migrants across the issue. This is being used to return to much as 50% back to other countries on the basis of health-related issues. The measure gave the U.S. the authority to immediately expel asylum seekers without a legal process. Friday's ruling means an even longer waiting time for migrants seeking refuge in the U.S., which is a good thing. Louisiana District Judge Robert Summerhays, an appointee of former President Trump, ruled the restrictions must stay in place until a lawsuit by 24 states led by Arizona, Louisiana, and Missouri is resolved in the courts. Filed after the CDC announced a plan to lift the public health order, they argue the policy needed to remain to avoid a wave of illegal immigration and drug trafficking. The DOJ, of course, has appealed Summerhays' decision, so it's unlikely the restriction will be lifted by Monday. That's tomorrow as planned. The admin will comply with the court order while the appeal is being processed. This is a good thing to keep this in place. Republicans cheered the court's decision. The court made the right decision to keep Title 42 in place. Any 42 would be a complete disaster. A nation already suffering from the Biden border crisis, said Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, chair of the Senate Republican Conference. We have a humanitarian, public health, and national security emergency happening at our southern border. Our Border Patrol agents are overwhelmed by a stampede of illegal immigrants crossing the border every day. The president was warned over and over again not to end Title 42. He ignored those warnings. And of course he did. Summerhall's Hall's ruling, well, expected, was a blow for immigration advocates and some Democrats who ramped up pressure on the admin to abandon the policy in recent months as COVID cases have plummeted. Advocates and lawmakers have expressed concern Title 42 is being used not as a public health measure, but as a means for controlling the influx at the border. Any way you can control the influx at the border, obviously, is a good thing. So the idea of protesting that it was being used to control the massive wave of migrants now counted in the millions into the United States is to be counted as a blessing for the American people. The Biden administration has gone completely off the rails on migration, and every action they're adopting is destructive of the integrity of the United States and our Constitution.
Joe, you want to comment?
Yeah. But I would also say, for those of the listeners that are hearing this, take the time and go to YouTube and put in the real Anthony Aguero, spelled A-G-U-E-R-O. And you can see how this action is taking place. It's not this sneaking behind cactuses and sneaking behind bushes and crawling on the ground in rags and then crossing the border. It's not that way. It is not that way. You see, Anthony was down in the Yuma sector. He was down there. I think he's just left. But the last videos that I saw, he was down in the Yuma sector, and he was showing the SUV drives up, a couple of SUV drives up, four or five of the migrants jump out of the car, they walk across a path, walk across certain embankments, go over and then sit down, and there's the Border Patrol taking the data, and then they put them on a little bus, take them to a vetting center, and then ship them out to the United States. And this 1 hour that I watch it, and you can just watch it for 15 minutes if you want to just get an idea of what's going on. It must have been on that 1 hour, I would say about 400 to 500 came through in that 1 hour. And in one sector down in. So that'll give you an idea of what's happening on the border.
How many kids, Joe, how many kids are coming across that border each month?
Well, I think it's up to about 25,000 to 30,000 per month.
Of kids, and half of them don't have parents with them, correct?
Not kids, but a combination of everything. There's a lot of kids in there. A lot of them are single males. That's why I say take the time to go look at the videos yourself, and you'll just be informed, and you will know what's happening. And the problem that people don't understand is that you are not feeling the impact yet, but you're going to, and there will be more accidents on the highway. There will be more shootings. The cartels absolutely rule Mexico. And that is now across the border, or at the border itself today.
Now, we've got shootings like right here. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Phoenix is a perfect example. In one shooting, we lost eight police officers. Or rather, we had eight Phoenix PD officers wounded, eight. And so consequently, sometimes they had an escapee out of a prison. And, well, they're hunting him down. I think they did catch him. But the problem of it is that the other half is the fentanyl that's coming into the United States for the year 2021. Over 100,000 overdosed, died. 100,000 people died. And where is it coming from? Up through Mexico. It's an agreement between the United States, and not the United States, but the cartels, and China. And it comes right up through the southern border. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I think you got it exactly right. We have another story here. Biden is quickly running out of allies. He enjoyed tremendous backing from multiple allies during the 2020 presidential election, though none of them turned out to support him in any campaign stop. It was ridiculous. He was repeatedly propped up and promoted not just by his handlers, by left-wingers in the mainstream media. Repeatedly said getting him back in office what turns out divisions bring the country together, and ensure adults were running the shop. Under the watch of the adults, however, recession and $10 a gallon gas prices are being projected. They've not shut down baby formula shortages, nor have they fixed inflation or ironed out kinks with the supply chain. At the end of the day, Biden talks about how well the nation is doing under his leadership, yet every single day Americans wake up with reminders of how bad things are getting, and they're getting worse. Some of Biden's most loyal defenders are even tiring of him. A fresh poll by the AP shows the president's nationwide approval is only 39%. A year ago, he had 63, down to 39. The massive drop speaks volumes, and mathematically, it shows Republicans aren't the only folks who have a serious bone to pick with Biden. Despite the Democrat Party pulling out every effort to elect him, only 33% of Democrats believe the nation is on the right course. This is a 16% decline from those polled on the matter back in April. That's just a month ago. Over the same time, his approval rating among Democrats dropped by 10%. Only 73% of the party approves of him, the president they helped to elect. On top of this, except of course, the whole thing was stolen. On top of this, networks that are far from right-wing or even friendly to conservatives are pointing out problems attached to his leadership. His performance in the office isn't doing the Democratic Party any favors. If a significant factor as to why so many left-wing congressional candidates are struggling, polls covering the November midterms have consistently shown Republicans leading Democrats and on the track to winning again. Biden argues GOP victories will cause sadness to spread across the nation, but that's just ridiculous. Sadness already exists for Americans unable to afford the basic necessities to remain safe in communities being hit hard by crime. If Biden continues as he has, his odds of keeping allies will continue to disappear right down the drain. This guy's going nowhere. He's a great albatross around the neck of Democrats, and I say, keep him front and center because he's doing tremendous damage to the Democratic Party, which, however, appears to be prepared to steal another election to remain in power regardless.
I'm in agreement with you there. Go ahead, Joe.
I think absolutely you're right on target, and all you have to do is take a look at Gascon, who is the district attorney for the city of Los Angeles. They're letting all the crime go. The crime is now working its way up in places like Beverly Hills, Westwood, the expensive sections of Los Angeles. And it was to the point to where deputies were relating the story of how the inmates were chanting, Gascon, 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 and that they were going to be let out of jail.
You know, right here in Kansas City, it's every day. You can go to any one of the news stations, kctv5.com, and you see the amount of killings and shootings. I mean, people are being shot and killed every night, but it's just not one location. It's two or three locations it's becoming. Every night here in Kansas City, general area. Black areas. Is it drugs?
So, there is another event that has come up that is really interesting for the, I'll relate this to the public. Two cadets at the Air Force Academy, at their recent graduation, refused to take the shot. They were denied graduation. One of them recanted, took the shot, got his degree, and got his commission. The other one, they said, we'll let you graduate. He didn't recant. So what that tells you, folks, is that if your kid goes to the academy, the Air Force Academy, he's got to take the shot. If it's at the Air Force Academy, it is also at the U.S. Military Academy, the Naval Academy, the Coast Guard, and the Merchant Marine. In other words, if your kid goes to any one of those schools, they have to take the shot, which tells us then that the rule now is if you're in the military, you take the shot. If you don't take the shot, you're out.
Okay, now, Joe.
That means we have no military.
Okay, now, the WHO organization just had a meeting in Switzerland. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just where they're going to just set up the protocols where you have to take, where essentially you're going to have to take the monkeypox shot.
World Health Organization, folks. World Health Organization.
And their sovereignty will take, the UN will have sovereignty then over you, the American public. No more constitution. That's what it means.
Jim, you want to comment on that one? Jim, are you with us?
Say once more, I missed that very last part, but I think you guys are just right top on top of this, Joe. It's been really, really good to be here. And I'm so glad we have these intermittent opportunities to relate these issues to the public.
Do you have any other things you want to report on, Jim?
Well, yes, actually I do. I have submitted a case to the Supreme Court of the United States, Stetzer versus Posner, and it's been docketed by the Supreme Court of the United States. So now
Fantastic.
You can find it accessible on the docket of the United States Supreme Court, where I've been granted the status of pro se and acknowledged my petition to as a proper, meaning I can't afford an attorney, so I'm representing myself. They are acknowledging that I've raised a significant legal issue that falls within the jurisdiction of the United States Supreme Court, and that they have a 30-day period for receiving a response from the respondent and amicus briefs on my behalf or that of the other party. So it's fairly stunning to get this far, but there it is. It's been docketed, and after the 30-day period, then the court will determine, based upon all of the information at its disposal, whether or not to move forward by issuing a writ and have a formal hearing, an oral hearing, before the Supreme Court of the United States on Fetzer versus Posner.
Now, you know, you fall under the Whistleblower Act. There's different acts, and I fall under the one of 1989. Okay, it's a different act, and because they've taken the power out. But you also have what's called writs, W-R-I-T-S. It's very powerful if you look them up, Jim. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just saying I'm aware of those things, especially sitting at the Supreme Court. You're in a good position, buddy.
Well, we'll see what happens, but it's, anyone can find it there. It's on the court. Just go to the U.S. Supreme Court, do a search on Fetzer v. Posner, and you can get all the documents, my petition, and this appendices at your fingertips.
Now, you know, this was a drill, and the school had been closed for a while. And, I mean, you've done all this evidence, but yet...
Stu, that's not what the case is about. The case is about the use of a summary judgment procedure that biased, that by virtue of which the court was entitled to discount all my evidence as being unreasonable, which is what they allow courts to do in Wisconsin. It was the wrong thing to do. My evidence wasn't remotely unreasonable, but the way it's set up in Wisconsin, judges have great latitude to just dismiss any evidence they don't like by declaring it to be unreasonable. My claim is that this is a deprivation of equal justice under the law of the 14th Amendment and my right to trial and not to be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This is a huge issue. And I dare say I think I may have succeeded in presenting the issues in exactly the right way for the court to be able to address them without having to directly confront Sandy Hook. I think it's going to work.
I'm 100% behind you, Jim, and to get where you're at.
I know you are, Stu. I just want really? Everyone to understand what's going on here.
But still, you know, it's what has happened to you and happening to everybody pertaining to justice in this country. It is ridiculous. I mean, they're going around. I heard from a neighbor here that they arrested three whistleblowers reportedly here in the Kansas City area recently, Wednesday, I think it was. I thought, what's this about? So I got to go back and check on it. But there's a lot of people being messed with, and they're doing it through your communications, folks. I mean, let's face it. You got a cell phone. Pull your cover off if you got a rubber cover on it, and look on the side opposite of the buttons that turn it on and off. And if you got a little chip down in there, you can take a little snail or something pointed, and you pop the chip out. But you got to turn the phone off first, and you take the chip out. They only triangulate off the cell towers with your chip in. Or if your phone's still on, you pulled the chip out and didn't turn it off. They can still triangulate you. But otherwise, they can't.
I can't thank you enough for featuring me again. And Joe, it's always a pleasure, you guys. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I know you got another show to do. And Joe, we're going to continue here for a minute. So thank you, Jim.
You guys, thanks so much.
JimFetzer.org, correct? Now, Joe, you're still with me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I wanted to touch on the situation in Israel and the temple.
Okay. To let the public understand, or let the listeners understand, what we have here is a guidance. It's called dispensationalism. And dispensationalism has a long story behind it. I won't go into it. But it was a means to enhance and enable modern Israel. And in Israel, we have what is called the Temple Mount cult. And this is a group, a sect within Israel in which they have the return of the Messiah. But to have the return of the Messiah, there must be a temple for him to return to. So, now fast backward many years ago, there was a man whose name I won't mention, but he was an educated man. He was educated in Israel. He had several degrees and had been in the IDF. And while he was in the IDF, he was sent on guard duty out to the Dead Sea area, which is a big desert area. And so somewhere out in the desert, they have reconstructed the temple. Literally, they have reconstructed the temple. He called it the practice temple. In other words, it's an exact duplicate of the real temple. They built it. And so he had to work security out there. And he essentially saw the building itself. Which then he began to say, they are looking for to rebuild the temple, but they have to get what we call the Red Heifer, where this Red Heifer has no imperfections. They take the Red Heifer and burn the animal, create the ashes, and then purify the area where the temple is to be. Now, the Israeli antiquities and other archaeologists now are like 95% sure that the temple is not on the temple was not on what we call the Temple Mount. That was a Roman cohort area during the time of Jesus. And they say that the real temple is under the debris in which they call the old city of David. So I don't think that there is a possibility of rebuilding that temple there in the old city of David. Now, in my estimation, the reason that David picked that place to build the temple is that it is what I would call an earth acupuncture point. In other words, there is a center of energy there. And so I don't think that they are going to rebuild the temple at the city of David. But what I think there is a possibility is that they're going to say, let's go ahead and put it up on top of Temple Mount or where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is. And so that was the discussion that you and I were talking about, and which means we don't care what the Israeli antiquities are saying and other archaeologists. Let's just go ahead and build it. And so that is the political play that is going on right now in Israel with the temple cult.
Now, this plays in with end time prophecies, and this plays in with the Antichrist being in power in Israel, doesn't it?
Okay, let's get something very clear here. Dispensationalism and world prophecy is not God's plan. That is, dispensationalism is a cult plan. It's a plan made by mankind, in this case, Zionists, to implement their program. In other words, if this entire issue of God's prophecy and all of that has to do with the Zionists. It is man's. It is not God's prophecy. It is man implementing a program to establish power.
Okay, go ahead.
So consequently, it just simply means that this business about the temple cult and all of that stuff that all during the 80s and all during the 90s with the people like the TV evangelists, that was their main, it was their means by which they were justifying the imminent return of Jesus Christ, because all of these things have happened, and there is the state of Israel, and et cetera, et cetera. And it had nothing to do with God. That was what man, it was a man-made prophecy saying God said this.
The way true prophecy is, and I see things being fulfilled because we are at end times. I mean, we're up there. Now, you got to have that temple so the Antichrist can go into it, declare himself to be God. Isn't that about the way it is?
Okay, that right there is part of dispensationalism.
Okay.
That is what they made up, not God.
Yeah. It's what they made up.
What that means is that they can get the means set up to accomplish what they want to accomplish. But then, if you take a look at things carefully on a wider scale, they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is just sit back and let nature take its course with these shots. There's not going to be anybody left.
Yep. Yep, they accomplished what they wanted to do, kill 2/3 of mankind.
They don't have to have their war. They don't have to do all, they don't have to invoke all of these adversarial things. They'll just sit there and wait, and that'll be it.
Yep. And we have a major shortage of everything, and then everybody goes crazy.
Shortage of everything. People will starve to death in the third world. They will have other inoculations that they're wiping everybody out. And they'll get what they want. And by 2025, I think they will accomplish it here in the United States, where there will only be 100 million of us left.
That's probably about right. And remember,
so that's why I kind of put things at the back. Doesn't mean that there isn't, a truth to dispensationalism, and that they're not going to try to do this. It's just that it kind of doesn't jive very well with what they're doing right now, which is take the shot. 80% of the United States has now been inoculated at least 3 times.
I know, idiots. I mean, my God, no wonder people are going crazy.
There is a shortage of pilots in Delta. Why? Because a lot of the pilots refuse to take the shot. You do not work for Delta Airlines unless you take the shot.
Unreal.
Same thing for Southwest, same thing for American, same thing for JetBlue. If you want to work, you take the shot. And so all they've got to do is just sit back and wait.
No more pilots.
So let everything take its course, and in 5 years, we'll be down to 100 million people.
Well, like Otis said, Super Spook, he said they saw through CERN, the super collider in Switzerland, and said that they were able to make a determination sometime between 2022 and 2025, a big fireball, 6 times the size of the planet, would hit planet Earth. And he estimated it around the 2025, he said, on the outer side.
Now, here's where I want to inject. There is one other thing that is very important, and that is the breakaway civilization. And that is where high-tech has now taken us off planet. And I'm hearing postings of where things are so advanced in outer space where they have mining on asteroids for gold. That means people from Earth, they're out there in space doing mining.
Now, I don't doubt that because of what you know and I know.
So, consequently, you know, and another thing, on any type, the best understanding that I have been shown is on the looking glass. They point it at a 90-degree angle, and they can supposedly see into the future. But what it means, and what the writer was expressing was, is that it shows potential. In other words, that you have to take into account man's free will. Is this going to happen? Is this thing going to manifest itself? Or is this thing going to manifest itself? And so I think when Otis was saying a fireball coming here, I think it was from that point of view that it is a potential.
That's right.
A potential.
Prayer works, doesn't it, Joe?
So, consequently, let me lift this helicopter for my Phoenix PD is at work. That is another thing I'll point out right here. Because of the courts, because of George Soros replacing all district attorneys, city councils, mayors, etc., the criminals are ruling Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix. Because if a cop does something wrong, they're the ones that go to jail. We are now down over 475 positions on Phoenix PD. 475, because who's going to be the cop? You're either going to be shot. We're losing, and I get this on a daily basis, we are losing between 1 and 2 police officers every day. They're either in an accident or they're shot.
Well, you want to touch on any other subjects besides our civilization going to hell?
Well, I was waiting for a response on that. So anyway, let's just simply say that you are seeing the deliberate taking, what I speak about.
Taking down of America.
It is the taking down of America. And the rule of thumb is, this is not me, this is the globalist. It is dry out the West, drown the East. And we are in a 12-year mega drought to where the water of the Lake Powell is down to the point that if it gets any lower, it will be past the intake and there will be no electricity. There'll be no water to generate the generators to produce the electricity. So they've come up with a plan, a 12-month plan, but the choice is either going to be, unless the weather changes, which they are not going to do, because this drought is caused by them, the globalists, the weather modifiers.
Yep.
The choice is going to be in the West, particularly here in the Southwest. You'll have drinking water, or you'll have electricity. You can't have both.
Now, Lake Mead was built back in the 40s, I believe it was. Started late 30s, early 40s.
40s.
30s. Now, when they built that, our government had discovered, because of our
early submarines. They discovered underneath Santa Monica, California, that there's a tunnel, that the Earth shape shifts out and it makes California a ledge, basically. It goes up underneath Nevada and into Arizona area, the way it's designed. But they find people dying at Lake Powell, I think it is, or drowning in one of the lakes up there, up in Utah. And their bodies wash up in Santa Monica Bay. And it's been several of them. Now, the town that's north of Vegas, I forgot the major one, Reno, Nevada. Reno is where it's at. They drown. But they have installed all these underground systems and tunnels and everything else as part of that big base, and it's called S4. It's there west of Las Vegas, Nevada, and northwest. And it's up where they have the little alien restaurant. I've spoken it as a speaker a couple of times and met some interesting people from BBC and British Broadcasting. And we sat there and watched a bunch of saucers stacked up out there where the alien base is, called Papoose Lake, Nevada. And it looked like stair steps of saucers slowly coming down and taking the next position. And those are the alien saucers we saw. And it's BBC's girlfriend, his girlfriend, left the camera inside of their room instead of leaving it in the car. So nobody got any pictures because we didn't have cell phones back then. But I know it's real. But when they built Lake Mead, they had to, because they had the technology already, knowing that these tunnels and stuff were underneath and explored, they could open that up. And it makes a nice space for the government. But when they built Lake Mead, they put in several generators. I think there's 8 or 10 generators out there, from my understanding. And two of them out of all of them go to the civilian side, to the towns around that area. The others are all for the military and our top secret base, like Area 51, Groom Lake, Area 52, Groom Lake. And then you have Papoose Lake, where Ed Slade worked. And Papoose is where the aliens are at. And that's where Heinrich Rupp, Harry Rupp, my dead friend, whistleblower, Daddy Bush's pilot, flew him in there when he was president into Groom Lake, or into Papoose Lake. And as he said, they told him to stay within the perimeter, not to cross the line, or he'd be lasered to death. And there was a restroom, and there's one of those machine-type deals you can use for food and drink. So he goes on, starts checking things out, wandering around, didn't know it's going to be a couple hours with Bush. So he goes into the restroom and he sees about 20 of these aliens lined up, little aliens like you saw in the Roswell videos, Joe, and so forth, that have been out there on the internet, showing this little alien. And he's looking at them, they're not moving, and you know, he's looking a little closer and he sees that there's hangers. They're holding their little suits on. So these little invisible, whatever it is, that needs to come to life, they run in and put a suit on. That's what he described. Now, Harry Rupp was quite famous. He was Adolf Hitler's pilot at 16 or 17 years of age in the military for 6 months. And he escaped to the OSS, our side, because he didn't want to be around that evil bastard. And he didn't have any family. So it's a little war story. But here's the thing about Lake Mead. It's those generators that go to that big military base of ours. It's all this top secret crap. Several corporations use it, including my father's corporation. He used to work for Bendix. I won't say what the toys they made. He never told me, but other people did. But there were some big toys. And there's Raytheon, defense contractor run by Daddy Bush. And he had those generators, those 8 of them available to him when he dropped the buildings on 9-1-1 with the death ray, folks. He shot it off a satellite, bounced it, that death ray. He needed that energy. Now, as long as they got a volcano open, they've got the energy to do this with. As long as there's an active volcano, they can tap into it with our top secret stuff that they've got. Just thought I'd bring that up. So Daddy Bush dropped the towers because of Lake Mead. Now, Lake Mead's almost dry, isn't it, Joe?
All right, now let's get this straight. What we have is that we have channels, big, huge, wide channels of seawater which goes underneath the mantle. And that's why you have a submarine training base at Walker, Nevada, which is northwest of Las Vegas. In other words, you have channels of where the submarine can go at a certain entrance and then work its way back to Walker Lake. So consequently, what you have here is that it's like Swiss cheese. Think of Swiss cheese and then think of channels. And that's how the seawater works its way under the mantle going from west to east. But the key on all of this is the big drought, and it's part of Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 30. And I don't think that they will shut down the generators at Lake Mead because Area 51 and 52 have to be serviced with electricity. But those are only my speculative thoughts.
Yeah, I would think that that's mine. I'm speculating that they're going to fill Lake Mead back up. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of it. I can only just simply say that it's a mega drought, and in 12 months, it's the choice is unless things change, there's going to be either electricity or water. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's just one part of the country. Now, the other part of the country, I mean, we're getting storms all the time, but I mean, they're just wicked. They come in here and they're getting wicked as far as what they're doing. And they're pushing tornadoes all across the country as part of HARP. And you tell HARP folks because it'll run a line from southwest to northeast all the way up and down the country from Canada clear to Texas. And they'll bring the storms in. But it's done with the jet stream. I've seen the jet stream last year drop straight down along the coast of California out of HARP in Alaska, go all the way down, all of a sudden take a left hook or right hook, whatever you want to call it, and it comes across Arizona and goes clear to Texas and starts back up from Texas, pulling the moisture out of the Gulf, shoving it up into the Midwest as they're shoving that jet stream back north, creating mass tornadoes and storms and everything else. It's all part of HARP. Now, geoengineering, what is it, .com, Joe? Dane Wiggington.
Geoengineeringwatch.org.
That's it. Geoengineeringwatch.org. He's got a lot of fascinating stuff up there on his site pertaining to HARP, jets, chemtrails, etc. Because there's a lot of disinformation out here, folks. I mean, the government has put up their trolls and they put up as much as they could on everybody who's telling the truth and or trying to change the truth. And this is part of what we have to deal with these days. Now, Joe, is there any other subject you want to touch on?
No, I think that's it.
Okay,
that's
now, I want to touch on one more just before we get off here. And it's the power of prayer and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I mean, you're a prayer warrior. There's a lot of us out here. But what do people really need to focus on, in your opinion?
Just be aware of the things that you see around you because your survival depends upon it. Whatever it is, I know that you want to talk about prayer, but that's another long issue, Stu, and I don't want to get into it.
Okay, but folks, I believe in it, and I believe in the power of it, and I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So with that said, Joe, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I thank you once again, Jim Fetzer, and you have a good day, Joe.
Okay.
Thank you.